it's interesting in looking at the chart that he drew and looking at it from a different perspective. A lot of what Brian was talking about is about the outer kingdom in some ways that we talk about, where the spiritual teacher is really very involved in that movement of the divine flow of your soul, liberating itself from this creation and awakening into soul and spirit and anchoring itself there so that that's your true home from which you came, and that's the true home by which you're going to return and not have to come back into the physical form. And that radiant form that he's talking about really is the Holy Spirit. It really is the divine flow of grace, of God's loving, that is moving throughout all of creation, that came into being when God first spoke. It was that frequency, that particular sound that God put forth that began to move energy into manifestation that brought about creation. And it's that same frequency that is the loving, that is the Holy Spirit, that is the grace, that is with us from that very moment of creation, beginning, throughout all of existence, and our return back to that same point. And it's that frequency that is the grace, that is the radiant form, that is the spiritual teacher, that is ever present with the soul on its journey in its return home to God. So if we can begin to look and realize that it's not about physical form or personality or anything other than God's loving, and that we begin to allow ourselves to be vulnerable to God loving us and us loving God, then we really begin to move in that fluid form of God's grace that is the radiant form, that is the spiritual teacher, that is the action of liberation for the soul. And it isn't about any particular lifetime, any particular level of existence, or any particular form of a teacher. It is truly about the sound and the light, that frequency by which all came into being, and by which all that is in being right now in manifestation will return home again. That we are to connect to, that we are to live in, and that we are to follow and move on so that we truly complete our journey. And that's all it is. It's just a completion of a journey. We are ever moving in experience on this great journey. Now, there's another level having to do with this journey, and that is the inner kingdom. So we often talk about the inner kingdom and the outer kingdom, and it takes a while for us on this pathway to truly come into a full understanding of what these two elements of expression and existence are, and to really get it straight inside of us so that we can begin to see what is taking place in our spiritual journey, and where are we living, and where are we functioning, and what are we clearing. So, in looking at this chart today, I thought it'd be kind of fun to express and explain a little bit about both the outer kingdom and the inner kingdom once again. And we've talked about this before, but it's always good to go over it once again, just to clarify it to another level, because it is confusing for a lot of people until you really are living it and understand it and have walked both the inner and the outer kingdoms and understand your relationship to them. So what Brian has drawn on the board is really about the outer kingdom. It is the physical form in the physical realm, and about that physical form coming awake to itself as soul here at the physical level through meditation, through taking personal responsibility for our thoughts and our feelings, our actions and our reactions, in the physical world, and in all that is of the physical creation. And the physical creation isn't just about the physical realm and the substances that we see that seem solid and structured. It's about all that is the elements that make up the physical creation, the physical universe, which is the emotional, I'm sorry, the imaginational, the emotional, the mind, and the unconscious, the void, that make up all that is of the physical creation. And when we in the outer kingdom work, are doing our experiential walk through the outer kingdom, we truly have our awareness focused downward and outward into this creation, into this physical universe, wherever we are, whether we're in a physical body, living in the physical form and living and experiencing all these other realms through this physical form, or if we're not in a physical form and we're in another body after we leave this physical body, we may find ourselves in the imaginational astral realm or in the causal emotional realm, experiencing there. We always are in a pathway of experience in this outer creation. And our responsibility is ever the same, whether in a physical body, an astral body, a causal body, or the soul body traveling in those realms. It's always the same. You're responsible for your thoughts and your feelings, your actions and your reactions, and how you are relating to this outer creation. And one way that you can know that you're doing the outer creative work is that more than likely your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be looking in the world at whatever realm you're at. Whatever realm you're at, you're going to be looking down and out into that creative level for experience, for understanding, moving towards something, or something moving toward you. And so it's one way for you to pay attention and realize that you are doing outer creative work. You are being responsible in this outer creation. And if you're not, you'll be aware of it, because everything in the outer creation will be coming up against you. Judgments, fears, anxiety, responsibilities of all kinds of different levels having to do with the outer form, such as financial responsibility, responsibility in your relationships with others, responsibility for how you're doing your life or not doing your life in the outer form. Does that all make sense? Now, if you take and expand this and change this chart just a little bit, then all of a sudden you're dealing with the inner kingdom. And the way you do that, it's just a very simple reformatting. Instead of the physical form being shown as a stick figure down here in the physical realm, we're now going to be looking at the inner kingdom. And so now we have the stick figure expanded over these realms, and we're now dealing with the inner kingdom that Brian has drawn up here. And really, I should have drawn it over here just a little bit further so you can see that this V-shape of energy is really the inner kingdom that we're looking at now, having to do with this stick figure, and that the soul that is shown down here in the physical realm that we want to wake up to in meditation is also right here in the inner kingdom. And in the inner kingdom, just as in the outer kingdom, as above, so below, there's the physical realm, there is the imaginational realm, there's the emotional realm, the mind, the unconscious, and the soul that we're dealing with inside. And as a spiritual being, we live in two different realities, the inner and the outer. Now, the spiritual teacher and the radiant form, the Holy Spirit, is ever working with you in the outer creation, in the outer kingdom, to assist you in moving free of your connection, of learning detachment, of learning freedom, of learning to stay focused in a path of neutrality in how you live your outer life. But in order for that to truly manifest in its fullness, it also has to be manifesting inside of ourselves. And it's really all about what's going on inside that matters. It's not about the outer, it's about the inner. It is always about the inner. And so what we want to look at is also then the inner kingdom and realize that inside, in the inner kingdom, we have a lot of things going on that are really just reflected in the outer kingdom. And that if we can begin to take personal responsibility for what is taking place inside of us, physically, emotionally, imaginationally, emotionally, mentally, and unconscious, and begin to handle those with loving, with acceptance and forgiveness, then we begin to truly liberate ourselves in a way that we don't if we just keep looking for the outer to change, for the outer to take place and manifest. It really is a twofold path. And it's how this creation is set up. It's a world of polarity, of positive and negative. So there's always two poles that we're dealing with, two actions that have to be handled and brought into quiet, into peace, so that we move into neutrality. And the outer kingdom and the inner kingdom are but that reflection of these two poles or polarities, these two actions in this creation that we have to bring into balance. Now, a lot of spiritual pathways really don't talk much about the inner kingdom. They talk about the outer kingdom and talk about the radiant form as the spiritual teacher working with you in the outer kingdom, and that it's for you to do your meditation and to wake up inside and find that radiant form of the teacher inside so that the radiant form can take you through the outer kingdom back into the realm of soul and spirit. But oftentimes they don't share about what that journey is to get to that place where you do see the radiant form inside in your meditation, and that the radiant form can take your hand and take you higher. And yet, that is the most important part of this journey of your existence in this physical form, is getting to that spiritual eye center, that 10th door, where you become aware of the spiritual teacher in the outer realm, in the outer kingdom, who can take your hand and take you higher. When we came into existence in this physical reality, in this physical creation, we came here for one reason, and that is to have experience. And those experiences are the opportunities by which the soul can learn about its state of being as a creative being and a loving being, and how to bring that into its fullness. And so we come into this creation and we begin to experiment with all that is in this creation. And there's a lot here to experiment with. You have the unconscious, you have the mind, you have the emotions, you have the imagination, and then you have a physical body. And there's a lot of potential to experience and experiment and play with all these different frequencies and all these different expressions of self to see what it is to be creative in this level of creation, what it is to be loving here. And so we go throughout lifetime after lifetime experimenting, creating, loving, looking for loving, being loving, hoping that this is love, hoping that this will bring love to us. And in that, we create both wonderful things and not so wonderful things for ourselves, both on the outer as well as on the inner. But in truth, the only responsibility that we as soul have is what we do in the inner kingdom. What are we doing with all that we've done? Are we judging ourselves? Are we hating ourselves? Are we separating from our truth? Are we angry? Are we frustrated with who we are? And in doing so, do we shut down our creativity? Do we shut down our loving? Do we close ourselves off from our true expression of soul, of self? Every soul has done just that. Every soul that comes into this creation has done just that. And it gets lost in looking down and out into the outer creation to answer what we have miscreated inside of ourselves. It's just a misuse of creative loving. And we have created imbalance. But the challenge for the soul is that it's also caught up in an outer kingdom, an outer creation, an outer focus, and we keep looking down and out for the solution. And somewhere in the outer kingdom is going to be the answer for all the mess we have sitting inside that is ever stirring, ever creating angst in us, anger, fear, frustration, whatever it might be. And the key is to stop looking into the outer kingdom for the answer, for the solution, for somebody to bring quiet and to make us feel loved, and to start looking back inside and taking responsibility for our own creations. And that's what we're doing in meditation. When we sit down and we're meditating and we're holding our attention at the seat of the soul here, what we're doing is we're allowing ourselves in that moment to begin to take responsibility for all these things in the inner kingdom that stand between us and God. It has nothing to do with the outer kingdom in that moment. Your meditation has nothing to do with the outer creations. You're not going into meditation to find out, well, how can I make some money so that I can pay these bills? You're not going into meditation looking for your soulmate in the world. You're not going into meditation for anything having to do with the outer creation. You're going to meditation to begin a wonderful journey home to God. And the first movement of that walk back home to God is by going inside and connecting back here to the seat of the soul inside of yourself. And there are things that stand between you and the Lord here at the seat of the soul that have to be dealt with inside. Not outside, but inside. Our judgments, our fears, our anger, our frustration, whatever it might be. And some of it we created for ourselves, maybe in other lifetimes, maybe in this one. And maybe we've taken other people's beliefs about us or their judgments about us, and we've taken them on and said, well, I think it's true. I guess it's true. I guess I've got to live this too. Even though there's something else inside of us that says, no, that's not true at all. That's not who I am. We take it on, and now we're living somebody else's definition of us as well as our own misdefinition through our miscreation of ourselves. And so we have to walk in this inner journey, beginning to bring ourselves present here at the seat of the soul inside of ourselves, to wake up and know the divine that we are. And God spoke in the moment of creation and said that we are responsible for our own creations. And that in that responsibility for those creations, we will learn as soul about the power of creativity and the power of loving. And that when that day comes that we have learned those lessons, we will automatically just unite once again with the Lord. We will join once again. And that all we have to do is just bring ourselves present and aware right now of what it is we're doing inside of ourselves, with our thoughts and our feelings, our imagination, our desires, and even those things we have stored up in the unconscious that keep filtering in. Well, how do we do all that? Most of it seems unconscious to us. Most of us have avoided what's going on inside. We don't want to think. We don't want to feel. We don't want to know. It's too painful. It's too hard. It's too difficult. I don't know what to do with it. So I'll just keep my eyes open and I'll keep distracting myself out into the outer kingdom. Well, that's not the pathway home. The pathway home is to go inside and not to confront, but to meet up with all those things that stand between you and the Lord. And the one thing I know is that it's a simple path inside if we use those three qualities that we share often: loving, acceptance, and forgiveness. Laugh. If you use those, the inner journey is very simple. But if you don't use those, you may find it more challenging, because then you feel the burden, you feel the obligation, you feel frustrated because you don't know what to do with these energies inside of you, these qualities inside of you, these misunderstood things that you've created. But by going inside, and anytime you come up against an obstacle, a block, something standing on your pathway, stopping you from moving in the loving with the Lord, you just love it. You accept it just as it is. You forgive it. And in that action, you're beginning to activate something inside of you that is the divine expression of your own loving, that is soul. And that is the grace that resides within you. That's the movement of grace: loving, acceptance, and forgiveness. You bring those together. That's like a trinity. You bring those three elements together into action in your daily life, inward and outward, and you have grace living and dwelling in you and going wherever you go, inward or outward, in your daily experience. That's the grace of the Holy Spirit. And it is through that grace action that the soul is liberated. So it begins by sitting down and going to meditation and holding your attention at the seat of the soul and just speaking the name of initiation if you're initiated, or chanting the hue inside and letting yourself know that I'm sharing my loving with you, O now, Lord. I'm sharing my loving with you. You that dwell here at the seat of the soul, that divine spark that is you, God, I love you. I love you, I love you, and I'm coming home right now. I'm coming home, and I'm not going to let anything stand in the way. I'm not going to let all my sexual desires and my imaginations about how I'm going to get rich and whatever else that is that I have in my imagination running, I'm not going to let it stand in the way. And I'm not going to let all my fears that run my emotions stand in the way. And I'm not going to let all the beliefs that I have running inside of me that cause separation in my mind to stand in the way. And I'm not going to let anything that resides in the unconscious that I have no idea what it is to stand in the way. And I am not going to let anything in my physical body stand in the way. Not my disturbance, not my distractions in the body, not my desires, nothing. I am just going to be loving with you. And then as you do that, you will find on the inner pathway those elements of your own creation, your judgments, your fears, your anxieties, your longings, your needs, your wants will rise up inside of you to confront you. Oh yeah, you think you love God? You think you're going to get to God? Well, what about me? You created me. You've got to handle me first. I'm not going to let you go past me till you do something with me to bring me into balance so I can go with you. I am a missed expression, action of creativity and loving that if you want to go home to God with and truly be in loving with God, you're going to have to bring me into balance. Well, oftentimes, what people will do when those things rise up inside of them is they go, oh, you know, I've got things to do. I'll just open my eyes and go out in the outer kingdom and just do it. I don't need to deal with that. I don't know what to do with that. I don't like to feel that. I don't like to see that. I don't want to hear that. The key is to stay in meditation and be with whatever that disturbance is, whatever that is that comes up to try to block you in your meditation. Be with it and be in loving, be in accepting, and be in forgiving with it. And let that grace action that is in that trinity of those three actions together as one go into that and transform it. And it will. You begin to do forgiveness with something over a period of days, weeks, months, however long it takes, or maybe just in that moment, and it will dissolve. And what you will find is this, that if you, in this lifetime or another lifetime, began to manifest something inside yourself as an action of creative, loving flow, and somehow you misdefined it, you misexpressed it, that you're going to have to take responsibility for that action and bring it into balance. So guess what happens? You don't just love and accept and forgive whatever that miscreation is. You love and accept and forgive you for having brought that into expression in that way. And then you look to see, now how can I transform that into a movement that flows with loving? And the easiest way to do it, you don't have to figure anything out, is you just say, hey, you're my loving. I just misexpressed you. Now I'm going to love you, and I'm going to offer it to God in loving. And let it be transformed in this movement of divine flow of loving so that it no longer is an obstacle, but rather it's a foundation upon this pathway that I can walk in strength and loving back home to God. And it will do that if you just allow it to. That's what grace will do. But oftentimes the mind will kick in and go, yeah, but you're responsible for this. You've got to do something with it. All you have to do is give it to God. Just give it to God. But do it first in the action of loving, accepting, and forgiving whatever that is, and then give it to God. Because you have just then planted the grace of the Holy Spirit into that element that is causing separation inside of you. And the grace will automatically transform it as you offer it to God. And God will receive it as a movement of loving. And from that moment on, that will be loving. Now, in that action, you think it's done. Okay, it's done. I don't ever have to deal with anxiety again. Right. In the inner kingdom, it's done. It's healed. But in the outer kingdom, there's all these things that have ever been the stimulus for that anxiety to form inside and to continue living inside. And so in the outer kingdom is still going to be running its own process. And that stimulation that has often caused the anxiety to come forward will still be present in your life, and you'll then be responsible for how you respond, how you act or react to the outer kingdom. And you've got a good way of measuring that now by, am I allowing myself to go back into anxiety because of this? Or am I going to live in the loving and not let this push me back into old patterns? And it just takes time. And you'll find yourself going in meditation, finding something that stands between you and the Lord, You love it, you accept it, you forgive it, and you give it up to the Lord through this grace action, and God receives it in loving, and it's complete. And then you get up and you go do the day, and somewhere in the day, something begins to stir in the outer kingdom. It also begins to stir the reflection, the memory of the old thing that you've given up to God that tries to bring it back alive again inside of you. And you may find the first time that happens, you begin to relive the old pattern, and it just keeps on living and living and living. Until finally you catch yourself and you go, wait a minute, I just gave that up to God. What am I doing? I love and I accept and I forgive you right now, just as I stand here, just as I'm walking here, just as I'm driving here, and I give it up to God, and it's done. I'm complete. And the more you do that with eyes open or eyes closed, the more you're allowing the grace to continue to dissolve those patterns. It really would be wonderful if we would allow it to happen the first time and it be done. But we don't. We don't because we have memory. We have attachment through emotions. We have a belief system running having to do with our imagination. And we have our physical habit patterns that are ever running. And we have to work with all of those to keep rising above whatever that is that stands between us and the Lord, to continue moving through whatever that is that stands between us and the Lord. And so it is truly being personally responsible in every given moment for our thoughts and our feelings, our actions and our reactions. And every time we go into reaction and we catch ourselves in that reactive state, going back into old patterns, we stop reaction, we move into action, and at the level of our mind and emotions, we move into the action of loving, accepting, and forgiving, and we're free of it again. And it's just doing that continually, over and over, until finally, whatever that energy is of the miscreative expression of loving and creativity is brought into alignment, and no longer does it stand as an obstacle, but rather it serves us. Now, the way I found a very, very simple way for this all to just happen automatically without having to do so much, even in having to pay attention to every given moment, is just to keep giving everything up to God. Just give it all up to God. Everything. Your fears, your anxiety, your joy, your gratitude, give it all up to God. There's no difference in any of it, except in how we distinguish it, having to do with this level of creation, having to do with polarities, good and the bad. Is anxiety bad? And joy good? No, they're just expressions of our loving and our creativity. But it's how we have defined them as good and bad as to how we live them. So if we can begin to look and see that it's all just fine, it's all just loving, it's all the same, there is no difference, there is no good and bad, and bring it to neutrality, just pull it all together into oneness and neutrality, into loving. That's what neutrality is loving. And give it up to God in loving. And just say, Lord, this is all yours. It automatically transforms. Automatically. And then we just have to stay present in that loving neutrality, in that giving it up to God, and just keep moving forward. And not allow ourselves to go back into old patterns once again of separation, of living in duality, of living in separation by having these things stand between us and the Lord. If there's a boulder in your life that stands between you and the Lord, inside, a huge obstacle of unworthiness, of judgment, of wrongness. Just stand in front of that obstacle and love it and accept it just as it is. Don't try to change it. Just love it as it is and forgive it and forgive the source by which it now exists, which is you. Forgive yourself. Hey, I forgive myself for having created you the way I did. And I just now, in forgiveness, ask that you be transformed back into the loving, into the creativity, so that I can use you to my benefit, to my grace, to my goodness. And so through the action of loving and accepting and forgiving you, I just now plant the seed of grace within you for transformation. And I give you up to God, that you're a lesson learned within me. Now, when you give it up to God, what God are you giving it up to? You're giving it up to the divine spark that dwells here at the seat of the soul. I give it up to the Lord. And what is this journey about? It's about reclaiming all that is of the soul essence that has been anchored into the physical form and anchored into physical manifestation. It's about reclaiming it all by holding our attention here at the seat of the soul where God, that divine spark, dwells, and coming back into union, joining that essence of soul back into itself fully at the seat of the soul. So when you give it up to God, you're giving it up here to the seat of the soul where the divine spark dwells. You're allowing that essence that has been caught up in the downward and outward focus, caught up in the outer expression, and you're allowing it now once again to come back to its true nature, the divine God within you. And it's when that happens, when you have reclaimed enough of that divine essence of your own soul, of that which is God in you, back here to the seat of the soul, that you then can truly look upward, both inward and upward, and there, then in the first realm of the outer kingdom, you meet and know your spiritual teacher as a radiant form, standing there ready to take you on the journey in the outer kingdom. So the first part of the kingdom work is in the inner. That's the first part of the journey, is just to get here to the seat of the soul by doing the inner work. And that's the biggest part of the journey. That really is the biggest part of the journey. And that's often what keeps people from fulfilling what they came here to do. So don't do your meditation with the attitude that you're going to change the outer world for your life. You're changing the inner world. You're changing the inner kingdom. And you're uniting all that is of that inner nature, the soul, back into its own self. Then the next part of the journey is really quite simple and easy. Very, very simple and easy. But that's why there's not a lot of souls walking this pathway today. And there never have been. Because most people don't want to do the inner kingdom work. They don't want to do that walk of being responsible and active and present and loving and accepting and forgiving of all that lies inside. And there are souls today that have done the outer work and even gotten out of body and have traveled into the realms of soul. But when they leave the physical form for the last time, if they haven't done the inner kingdom work, they may find that the Lord of this creation is going to call them back and say, you haven't fulfilled at the physical level what you were to fulfill here. Get back down here. You didn't do your 10%. And the soul is drawn back down here again to do the inner kingdom work. So be aware. The biggest part of your journey is to be responsible for what you're doing inside with yourself. love yourself fully, accept yourself fully, all your flaws and all the joyful, wonderful things about yourself. Love it all. Love your physical form just as it is. Love your emotional form just as it is. Your imaginational form just as it is. Your mental form. And even your unconscious. Love it all. Accept it all. And even forgive it all. And you're going to find that your journey will be very simple and easy. And you will find that that spiritual radiant form of the teacher will be right there walking with you through it all. But the Holy Spirit, the spiritual teacher in the outer form as well, cannot do the inner work for you. That's where your real lessons lie. You do the inner work, and God will do all the rest. You do your 10%, and God will do the 90%. Now, here's a key. What does God ask of us every day to tithe 10% of the day? 10%. So you do your 10%, your meditation every day, and God will do the other 90% with you during the day. If you do your meditation, you stay focused in loving the Lord, you invite the grace of the Holy Spirit into that inner kingdom to bring balance and harmony through loving acceptance and forgiveness of whatever it is you find in there, God will go and do the other 90%, both in the outer kingdom as well as in the inner, to assist you in getting liberated. And that's the beautiful part of this pathway. Do everything in loving, do everything in acceptance, do everything in forgiving, and the grace will be with you. And the grace will do the work. All you have to do is be vulnerable to that which is God's loving, and the loving does the rest. And the one thing I know is the more you give it up to God in loving, the more God gives back the loving, so you can give up more. And when you give up that loving, all that isn't of loving also goes up with it to be transformed. Or all that isn't of loving will just drop away because there's nothing for it to hold on to now, because it can only hold on to that which is not loving of its same frequency. And if everything is transformed into loving inside, all the other elements just drop away. It's just that easy. There's nothing to give up. There's nothing to let go of. It just drops away. And then it's for you to let it go. And that's another part of the challenge, is to be willing to change. Be willing to witness the transformation and be willing to live in that change. And go out and do your life new. Every day it's a new life. Every day it's a new action. Every day it's waking up into the greatness of the Lord in another way. The Lord that dwells within you and the Lord that dwells within all of creation. And that's what you'll find. So think about that a little bit, about the inner and the outer kingdom. And begin to pay more attention to what that is that's taking place in the inner. Brian and I can assist you a great deal in the outer kingdom walk, both in the outer world, but very much so in meditation. Once you get here to the 10th door, we will walk with you throughout all the realms of the outer creation, of the outer kingdom. We will walk with you through the realm of the astral imaginational realm and help you to set paths, a pathway before you of loving, so that whatever stands between you and the Lord there will just dissolve into loving, and that path will be laid before you. And the same in the emotional causal realm, and in the mind, and in the etheric unconscious, all the way up into soul. And we assist you in that journey. But the first part of the journey is getting to this tenth door so that that can happen. So I hope that just gives a little bit more clarity, a little bit more understanding about the inner and the outer kingdom. And be aware of the two. It's a world of polarity, inner and outer, positive and negative, up and down, whatever you might want to look at. If you can bring them into one, bring them into that path of loving. There is no inner and outer. There is just loving. And it all flows as one. But it takes a while for you to bring those two together as one. And that's what meditation is about. It's an opportunity of coming into union with yourself, into union with creation, and into union with God. And that's the truth. All right. I did all right. I think I'm better. Now I'll start coughing as soon as the energy lifts off, believe me. All right. Well, thank you all very much. And just to let you know, Brian and I aren't going to go to lunch today because I want to get home and just take care of myself. So I'm doing a lot better, but I don't want to take any chances. Yeah.